Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Well, hi there, everybody. Carton Roberts, Craig on vacation for one more day. And the man is back for one more day, Joe Beningo.
Yeah, it was an odyssey getting here today, but I'm here.
You made it.
Well, they canceled the train. I mean, it's like unbelievable. I get up there. I take an hour earlier train. They cancel the train. I mean, what are we
for
doing?
What reason?
There isn't. Do they need a reason?
Switch your shoes or whatever.
Please,
they make
this
up?
Poor guy last night, he had to come with me. Get off where I get off, because they had major issues, I guess, in the Suffern station. They had rails down.
Power lines down.
Oh, I mean, you had to take an Uber home.
Oh, my God. I mean, well, you have always told me.
It's a disaster.
And you were right about this. The biggest part of this job is the commute.
There's no question.
It's getting here
It's
going home.
That is it. It's all about that. If they could beam me here, I'd be good. I'm in, you know?
That's the beauty of the show at home. That's the best part about the show
at home. It is the best part of the show at home.
That's what makes Saturdays great.
Saturdays good. It's going to be good when we're doing the Saturday shows. I'm doing from home.
Can't wait.
Olivero's going to mail me. I guess they're going to, I don't know, I guess they're going to UPS me the box we need to do the show from home.
You still don't have your box from a year and a half ago?
Come on, are you kidding me?
They didn't let you keep that? From
Let
the pandemic.
Me keep it. All I heard was churn off like every day. You know, do you still have that box? Can you bring it? Like, he was like so worried that
know.
I'm going to stay home and not come in. I mean, it was unbelievable. You know the deal.
I do. The best part about our Saturday shows is we'll be before real football games.
Yes.
I was excited for about 10 minutes last night watching the Giants. Because it was football. I miss football. I love football.
I got to tell you, I mostly, not that I watched the whole game, but I did watch a significant amount of the Field of Dreams game.
Are you serious?
I really did. Don't ask me why.
Hold on a second.
Because I'm a sick, you know what?
Wait, you have always told me, listen, if it's not the Mets, if it's not the Yankees, I'm not watching baseball.
That is a very...
In August, you watched the Cubs against the Reds?
Well, here's the deal. I have found that this is very weird, okay? Now tell me, call me now. I have found now that I have, you know, haven't been doing this on any kind of regular basis for a while. I'm actually watching more baseball games than I was before. I'm watching every Met, every Met game.
Right.
I mean, I'm not watching every pitch like you, but I'm watching, I'm all over my team, obviously. I can't watch them tonight because they're on Apple, although you tell me I got Apple.
You can watch it.
All right.
Yeah, you've got to tell Terry
Scherzer's
to do.
Scherzer's pitching. I mean, can they put it on time? And the Yankees are always on Friday night somewhere.
Well, believe it or not, tonight the Yankees are on Yes Network. They're not on Amazon tonight.
Yankee Red Sox on Yes?
For whatever reason, it's a Yes Network
game.
That's
good.
The Mets are on Apple TV Plus, which is annoying to access. But once you access
it. Very annoying.
And we don't get Gary, Keith, and Ron, which kind of sucks.
Well, that stinks, too. Do we even know who these guys are?
I forget.
They can't be good.
The Oriole TV announcer does, I think, the 7:30 or 7 o'clock games. What's her
name? Isn't that Gary Thorne?
No. It's not Gary Thorne. I forget the Melanie Newman,
really?
I think is her name.
Oh, okay.
And she was okay because she did a few Met games. And I think Chris Young, the former outfielder.
Yeah, you mentioned him, right.
Not the pitcher because he's the GM of Texas Rangers.
Chris Young, the old Princeton basketball player.
Yes.
The 6'10".
He's the one who's the GM of the Rangers.
Yeah, right. Yes.
The one broadcasting is the former outfielder for the Mets, Yankees,
I know. Yes.
Diamondbacks.
Okay. Right.
But everybody can access it because it's free. It's just a pain in the ass to access.
Yeah.
That's the
only
thing.
Well, my wife's all over this stuff,
So you can
watch
it.
She does all the technological things that I need to have.
Yeah, she can hook you up with that.
So, thank God for that.
She can definitely hook you up with that. But I watched a little bit of the Field of Dreams game. Did you see the Harry Carey thing?
No, I missed that for some reason.
So in the seventh inning, Harry Carey used to sing.
Yeah, he used to sing Take Me Out to the Ball Game.
They put up a hologram of Harry Carey.
But wait a minute. Here's the problem I have with that. Yeah. It wasn't a Cub home game. The Reds were the home team.
That's your problem with it?
hold on. Isn't that supposed to only be at Wrigley Field anyway?
It's supposed to only be at Wrigley Field, yes.
Come on.
Well, that's your issue with it? Not the fact they took a dead guy and made a hologram of him?
Well,
it was freaky, man. I thought it was sort of cool.
So that's, oh, they made a hologram. Oh, now I just registered what a hologram is.
Yeah.
It took me, you know, I'm getting slow.
I got, Loogie, show him a video right now of the Harry Carey hologram.
You got a video of this?
I could have sworn it was Harry Carey. Or I thought it was someone imitating Harry Carey.
Right.
Like they had some old guy dress up as Harry Carey and sing Take Me Out to the Ball
Game. Does that mean that the maybe Old Timers Day, the Mets will have like holograms of Bob Murphy and Ralph Kiner?
I mean, they could. what I started thinking is when the Jets win the Super Bowl, you've always told me you'll be dead. You won't be around to see it.
So maybe it'll be a hologram of me.
Well, that's what I'm curious. Are you giving the station permission to create a Beningo hologram?
Of course. What do I care? Just make sure you pay my wife. That's
that's it.
Make sure she gets the proceeds. That's and I'm good.
Hear that, Spike? Send the check to Terry.
Spike.
And we're good to go.
Did you tell Spike that he looks like this guy, Machine Gun Kelly?
I have not told him that, okay. No.
Spike, you look like Machine Gun Kelly.
I can see
it. The guy that's married. Loogie, don't you see that? The guy that's married to Megan Fox? I mean, come on.
I definitely see the resemblance.
Well.
Did you?
Not to Megan Fox. But
no.
But yeah, no, I understand.
And the worst part about the Field of Dreams game, did you watch the beginning of it? You probably tuned in right in the middle of it.
Well, I didn't get home for the beginning of it.
Okay.
I wasn't home yet.
At the beginning of it, they did this dramatic thing where Ken Griffey Jr. and Ken Griffey Sr. walked out of the cornfield
and
had a catch.
Really?
Okay.
Now that's interesting.
In honor of, you know, Ray Kinsella having a catch with his dad.
Right.
And I was so depressed watching this because you got to remember, bro, I grew up with Ken Griffey Jr. being the freaking man.
Right.
Ken Griffey Jr. was the kid.
With the Mariners.
With the Mariners. Right. Yeah. Before he was rejected to trade to the Mets.
Well, he was all banged up in Cincinnati
of course.
The time.
End of his career, yes.
Right.
But he was the man. He was the face of Major League Baseball. And he's out there, and he can't even throw a baseball anymore.
He put on a lot of weight, didn't he?
He's a bigger guy, but he looked muscular. Like, he put on weight, but he didn't look bad.
Right.
But watching him and his dad, Sr., having a catch, it was depressing. I was looking at this saying, this isn't the Ken Griffey Jr. I remember.
What do you expect?
I don't know. You know what?
What, is he 50 now? He's got to be 50, right? Close to it.
I don't know what I expect. I know there's Old-Timers Day
I'm
going to
be 70, but I mean, you know, 50, but he's starting to, move in a different direction.
But I don't have high standards for you, Joe, throwing a baseball out on the field.
No, that's not.
This is Ken Griffey Jr.
I can't go overhand no more.
Oh, really?
I'll tear my rotator cuff, and then I won't be able to play golf, and I won't be happy.
So when's the last time you had a catch?
I've thrown a football with my grandson a little bit.
And do you go underhand or do you throw
it? Oh, no, I throw it.
So you can still throw football?
Yeah, with a little zip, too. I can't go. I can't throw any kind of distance.
Like gotcha.
I can throw 15, 20 yards on a line, but to throw with any kind of, 40, 50 yards anymore, no shot.
So when's the last time you threw a baseball, then?
That's been a while. It's been a while since I've thrown a baseball.
Well, if you can throw a football, you can throw a baseball.
I would think so.
Yeah. Look, I didn't expect Ken Griffey Jr. to go out and play center field. It was just... It was sad.
Yeah.
Like, I'm watching this guy I grew up watching. Like yesterday, you said, when you're old, when you start to become older than all the players.
Right.
Which I have now hit now as a baseball fan.
Now, right.
I'm watching Ken Griffey Jr. and he's not even moving his feet. He's like flat-footed.
Well, how do you think I feel when I see Namath? I mean, you guy's almost 80 now.
I understand.
He's like 75, 76. I mean, come on.
No, I understand. I understand. It was a weird night not having the Mets and the Yankees
last night.
The Giant game, I watched about a quarter and a half
of it. They won, right? Well, they won, right?
They did on a last-second field goal.
Oh, is that a Graham Gano?
Graham Gano.
He's a good player. He's one of their best, actually.
He's one of their best. It's one of those things, and I think it's the same thing with the Jets tonight against Philadelphia.
Yeah.
There's nothing you could take out of
these
games.
Well, even the Jets tonight, I mean, there's only so much, and again, I probably won't, kickoff, 7 o'clock? Probably won't get home in time to see the beginning anyway.
Right.
Which is probably all I want to see. I mean, I don't know who's going to be playing after
But even, like, Zach Wilson, who obviously is the key to the Jets season, there's nothing he can do in this game.
Nothing.
That's going to make you, A, get depressed, or B, get excited.
Well, unless he got hurt.
Obviously.
Outside of that.
That's why, the biggest thing that came out of the Giant game is that Shane Lemieux injured his toe. Because outside of that, Saquon Barkley looked good. Yeah, Kenny Golladay had a drop at the two-yard line.
He stinks.
Yeah, Daniel Jones.
Kenny Golladay. What did they think this guy was? I mean, he wasn't that great with the Lions.
He was better than this, though.
Well, he's better than this, but, I mean, it wasn't like he was some, perennial Pro Bowl receiver.
He looks like a guy who got paid, is on a lousy football team, and just doesn't care.
And he's mailing it in.
Yeah.
I saw that pass he dropped on the goal line.
Yeah. Got to make that play.
Of course.
Now, what does that mean in a preseason game?
Well, it doesn't mean much.
It doesn't mean anything.
It doesn't help him, though.
No. I think that's the problem when I watch these games. Like, Daniel Jones, to me, there's no shot he's on the Giants in 2023.
Yeah.
This is his last shot here, and even if he has a good year.
I would agree.
He's still probably gone because the Giants are going to have to pay him. I look at Saquon Barkley the same way. Like, Saquon Barkley, let's say he has a monster year, and I actually think he could. Are you going to pay a running back
that kind of
money?
No.
When you just cleaned up the salary cap books for Joe Shane?
By the way, how bad is that draft now?
Oh, the Saquon draft?
Oh, my God.
Not good.
Bro, come on.
Jets and Giants.
Yeah, no, everybody. Jets, Giants.
Cleveland.
Cleveland, right.
Well, they had a second first-round pick, and they got Denzel Ward.
Yeah, the Arizona Cardinals, they took Josh Rosen. I know they got Murray now, but, you know.
But you know what Arizona did that a lot of teams can't do? They were able to, after 1 year, say, okay, we effed up. Let's move on.
Yeah, they also moved it. They brought a new coach in, too, in Kingsbury.
They brought a new coach in.
They bounced the coach after 1 year, too.
Right, but they identified after only one season, this quarterback is not our answer.
Right.
And most teams don't do that. Most teams sit around for 3 or 4 years saying, I hope this guy's our answer.
Right.
Well, we'll put more talent around him. Now he'll be our answer. And like we said before, if that guy isn't the answer by year two, he's not the answer. And you're just spinning your wheels. Like, it's weird. The Giants, and I don't know what Brian Daboll is going to be as a head coach. Hopefully for Giant fans, he's the next great head coach. Same thing with Joe Shane. But they have become the Jets over the last 5 years.
Oh, my God. It's 3 years, three coaches in a row, 2 years and out.
Yeah.
I mean, that's unbelievable.
McAdoo.
That is very Jet-like.
Really?
Yeah.
And the next cycle in Jet-like is moving on from the young quarterback, which is going to happen with Daniel Jones after this season. They haven't done it yet, but they're going to. Like, is there any shot Daniel Jones does enough this season to where you want to bring him back and build around him?
I guess if the Giants had this ridiculous year to go like 12-5 and win the division, and Jones is great, you know. Maybe that, I don't think that's happening.
And by the way, if that happens, then you got to pay Daniel Jones franchise quarterback kind of money.
Well, that's true.
You're right. That's the issue you run into. And I think Saquon Barkley more so. Because at least with Daniel Jones, if he had that great year you described, okay, fine, pay him, he's the answer. If Saquon Barkley rushes for 2,000 yards, has this unbelievable season. I don't count on it, but let's just say he did. Are you going to pay him?
Yeah.
No.
No, you look at that draft, the first three picks, we all wanted Donald. Mayfield goes first. He's gone. Barkley's still here. He's had all kinds of problems since his rookie year, injury-wise. The Jets take Donald, and what a disaster. He's in Carolina with Mayfield.
I know.
How is that?
Circle of life.
With one of the most overrated coaches in football in Matt Rhule.
Yes.
I mean, I can't believe he has a job.
One more year.
Yeah, that's it.
And he'll be gone, too.
Exactly.
Yeah, that quarterback class, which at the time you thought, oh, this could be historic. This could be great. Look who the two best players are by a mile and a half. Josh Allen turned out to be. Yep. But I think a lot of it also.
And Lamar
Jackson.
Right.
But a lot of that has to do with going into the right situation. If the New York Jets or even the New York Giants had drafted Josh Allen, what would have happened?
Yeah, well, I mean, we'll never know.
No, we'll never know.
Now, you wouldn't think he'd be as good as he is now.
I don't think so.
I'll tell you one thing. Speaking of guys, look, if anybody but the New England Patriots drafted Mac Jones last year, he would not have had the year he had. I don't think he's any good.
So what is he? You don't think he's any good?
I think he's an average quarterback.
No, that's what I was going to say.
Like, I'll say average.
He's an average game managing, make the playoffs kind of quarterback.
That's what he is.
And by the way, there's nothing necessarily wrong with that. You could have a pretty good career, but is he Josh Allen?
No.
Is he ever going to match Josh Allen?
Never.
No. No, but I think it's a testament to the coaching Bill Belichick does, and he's really shown his muscle this year because he decided the guys who's going to run his offense are the brains of Joe Judge and Matt Patricia.
Right, two failed head coaches by a lot.
Right. And Matt Patricia's a defensive guy, and Joe Judge is a special teams
guy. And is it Patricia calling the plays now?
Yes. Yes.
Wow.
But they'll win games. I don't think they're going to win a Super Bowl or anything like that.
Well, we better beat them this year at least once.
Well.
No.
I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm thinking, like, is that going to happen? Like you say, they better win week one. I agree with you.
Right. And week two.
Is that going to happen?
I mean, I wouldn't bet on it.
Well, that's the point.
I told you, they'll probably be up by 20 and blow the game.
If I had to ask you right now.
21-20. They're up 20-0. Mid-third. They lose 21-20.
If I had to ask you right now, August 12th, 2:15, we're about a month away from week one.
Right.
Right?
Right.
How many wins?
By the way, we're not going according to the thing here.
The thing here.
Okay. Twitter went nuts over a first quarter taunting penalty called on Giant quarterback Aaron Robinson.
Oh, that was a
did
terrible.
You see that? I did not see it.
That was such ridiculousness. If this was a
Luke,
regular.
You're all over it, Luke.
If this was a regular season NFL game, you would have lost your mind for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Because you would say, are you kidding me with this taunting?
Yeah, well, oh, there's so many. And you're telling me that they're emphasizing illegal contact.
Yeah.
What a joke.
Yeah, that'll drive you nuts, too.
Oh, my God.
If you had to predict right now, not what you want, not what I want, because I know what I want. And you know what you want, but what you think is going to happen. How many wins do you really think the Jets are going to get this year?
I'll say maybe 7.
Maybe 7.
Yeah.
And you'd be pissed with that.
Very.
7-10 is a disappointment.
Extremely.
I agree. And for anyone listening saying, well, you guys are unreasonable, maybe I'm being unreasonable, maybe you're being unreasonable, but enough of the losing. Enough.
Well, who's, I'm tired of, when exactly are us Jet fans going to expect to win? I mean, even when he was coaching the Senior Bowl, Salah, the wonderful head coach, I hope he turns out to be. I got no confidence in him at all. It's basically setting it up. Well, it's not going to, really, when I was in San Francisco, we got it going in year three,
Right.
Like, he's already kind of like setting it up that, year three, look at the Bengals. They did it in year three. So he's setting it up that if there's another crummy year, well, I told you it's going to be year three,
But the expectation is that even though Joe Douglas had a great draft, supposedly.
We hope.
That they're going to have a crummy year. Their over-under in Vegas is 5.5.
Right. Well, I would bet the over only because I have to.
No, I get that.
I would never bet against, bet against them.
I'm with you. I'd bet the over, but think about those expectations. Like the Giants. The Giants have a higher over-under than the Jets.
Well, they're in a bad division.
I get it. No, the schedule has a big part of it.
Right,
but still, like, I know how good the AFC East may well be and how good the AFC in general is and how tough the schedule is, but the expectations from Vegas is that they are a 5.5 over-under number.
Can you imagine they go 6-11 this year?
I'd be pissed.
Well, of course. We'd be delirious. We'd be delirious.
Of course.
Because you keep giving us the propaganda, keep floating that out there.
I look at it as Josh Allen's second year with Buffalo. The Buffalo Bills jumped and had a 10-win season.
Yes.
And Allen had a very good second year compared to his first year.
Right.
Not a franchise quarterback year, but a very good year. That's what I want.
Right.
I want to see Zach Wilson make the jump Allen made from year one to year two. And again, his jump from year one from year two, Big Mac and I were talking about a few days ago, wasn't what he is now. It's not like he turned in.
Oh, no. Now he's, he's one of the top quarterbacks in football.
Right.
Now.
I'm not asking Zach Wilson to be that. But major, major significant progress.
Major.
The injury to Mekhi Becton is no excuse.
I don't want
to
hear about it.
This offensive line was a strength last year anyway.
I didn't expect anything from Mekhi Becton anyway.
And
so,
they just went out and added Dwayne Brown as it is.
That's right.
They should have a good run game. They have weapons at wide receiver. There's no with you. There's
and
no excuse.
And the defense should be a lot better. I mean, let's start with that because the defense last year was brutal. It stunk. They got embarrassed in New England. They got embarrassed by the Colts. They got embarrassed by the Eagles. They got embarrassed by Buffalo. The defense has got to be better.
No question.
I mean, they're all talking up the defensive line. It's going to, Carl Lawson and, Quinnen Williams, he's going to make the big jump. John Franklin Myers, I don't know what the great thing is about him, but whatever. They paid him whatever they did. All these different – you heard Costello yesterday. I mean, Johnson isn't even he's saying he's not even going to get a lot of reps. I mean, how is that possible?
Well, and the other thing about last year that was very frustrating is a lot of those losses were non-competitive.
Yeah, well, I'm saying.
They have to be significantly better than last
that
year.
Game in the game in New England when they gave up 55, the homecoming game.
How about the Indianapolis game on Thursday night? Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
that
the Mike
game
White
was,
game.
Remember that game, too. That was almost competitive, but White throws that touchdown pass, and he gets hurt on that play.
Oh, that was a killer.
And we basically never heard from him again.
I know.
And they buried the guy. I'm shocked he's still on the team.
He's the third-string guy.
I know. Flacco's the backup.
We're going to see Mike White tonight. That was a crazy phenomenon for 2 weeks because I was a real
they
sucker.
They hosed Mike White.
I think so, too.
Oh, they didn't give him a real chance.
His one bad performance was
against Buffalo.
An elite-level Bill defense.
Right,
and everyone said, okay, Cinderella's
story's over.
And if
you remember that game, they were driving right before halftime, and Corey Davis had a huge drop.
No, you're right.
Right before halftime. And then they wound up just getting, blitzed in the second half.
And then the following week, Joe Flacco takes over.
Right.
And I think Mike White may have gotten COVID at that point. I'm trying to remember.
Maybe.
So it may have been that. But we never really got to see the conclusion of Mike White.
No.
But I don't know how you felt. I bought in. I was thinking, holy crap, they may have found their guy.
The game against the Bengals was one of the best quarterback games I've seen in how many years we saw a Jet quarterback have the kind of game White had?
Yeah.
When was that?
Not often.
No.
That was an insane phenomenon that flashed through the night quicker than Lynn
Sanity. And the Bengals go to the Super Bowl.
I know. Well, the Bengals are the hopeful team I think we all should look at and remind you that.
Is this guy going to be Joe Burrow, though?
I don't know.
Right, we don't know.
I hope
so. We don't know.
But I think that the Bengals are that hope that you look at where you had the young quarterback coming off a major injury, the young head coach who at the time looked in over his head, and on a one-year switch turned from a team that we expected to not be that good into a team that went to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And so I'm not saying the Jets are going to do that. I don't think any of us is suggesting the Jets are going to do it. But I thought last year the Bengals were a hopeful reminder that this turnaround can happen quick.
Of course.
If you happen to have the right young head coach and the right young quarterback.
That's it. And the right personnel around them. That's it. Really comes down to that.
No doubt. We got your calls coming up. The Mets and Yankees are back in action. The Yankees open up a series against the Red Sox, where really all these struggles began. An interesting story about what the Yankees offered for Luis Castillo. And the Mets and the Phillies are back at it. And Keith Hernandez has inserted himself in this rivalry.
Oh, my God. I can't believe it. You know, we'll get into that. I know we got a break, right, Luke? Because I want to get into what Hernandez, because I saw him when he said it.
Me too.
And I couldn't believe he said that.
We'll get into that coming up.
Why would he say that?
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
It's Carton and Roberts on The Fan. WFAN, WFAN-FM, and WFAN.com.
John Heyman. Hi, John.
Hello, guys. It's so great to be back with you. I've missed you.
Now, I got a couple questions that I'm going to ask you right off the bat, okay? Will the baseball writers hose Aaron Judge and not give him the justified MVP and give it to Ohtani, okay, just like you guys did to Albert Bell in 1995? Will you hose Judge like you did to Albert Bell?
Well, I know you are the Albert Bell fan club president.
Well, so, Evan and I are co-chairmen.
Yes.
Hey, let's not get that debate again. No, Judge is clearly the MVP. There's no debate. It's so obvious. It's an all-time great season, which I'm writing about for the Post tomorrow. On pace for 65 home runs, on, you know, one of the two best teams, and is the key reason for that team. I shouldn't say that, because you never know with my brethren. I think there'll be less than five voting for Ohtani. Now, Ohtani is amazing, all that, but, you know, Judge is clearly 100% the MVP, no debate.
I'm glad to hear it. I'm glad you're saying that. Now, I got one more for you along these lines, okay? Evan's laughing because he knows what I'm going to ask you.
Yes.
Will you guys hose Jose Altuve? Okay.
I like the way you put that.
Will you hose Jose Altuve, the greatest second baseman of my lifetime? I put him ahead of Joe Morgan now. A clear first ballot, no doubt about it, Hall of Famer. Will you hose him because of the cheating scandal?
No, I don't think so.
You don't think so?
Yeah, I think he's on track to be a Hall. If his career ended now,
He's in. Probably. Oh, come
easy.
On.
Easy. I'd have to look at it.
Easy.
Yeah.
You have to look at it.
I mean, it's not even
debatable. I had 8 locks, I remember, when I did that, and he wasn't one of them. This was a few months ago. But
what?
I think he's probably Hall of Famer.
Probably.
Yeah, I'd have to look.
He's won 3 batting titles.
Are you serious?
He's won an MVP. He's a career .306 hitter. Like, he's a lock.
John,
if he retired
tomorrow.
John, I
put him ahead of Joe Morgan now. I got to tell you.
No, no way.
What do you mean,
no way?
What do you mean?
Joe Morgan won 2 MVPs.
Okay. Joe Morgan and also. Wait a minute. Hold on a minute.
You got to look at the war.
Oh, God. Can I do this?
War.
He also played on a loaded team. Joe Morgan was on a loaded team.
So is Altuve.
Okay, but he's the lead player on this team. Is he not the lead player?
Yeah. No, I think he is.
Okay. Was Joe Morgan the lead player on the Reds?
He was one of it was him, Bench, and Rose
right.
were the three.
And don't forget Tony
guys.
Tony Perez as well.
Right, but I would put Bench, Rose.
Yeah,
and
of course.
Yeah,
I agree. Okay, yeah,
yeah.
The other thing though, you're leaving out. And Joe, I don't even know if you know this. Just the pure numbers of this.
Go ahead.
Jose Altuve has now played 79 postseason games, half of a regular season.
Oh, yeah.
He has hit 23 postseason
is that
home
right?
runs. 23 postseason home
runs. Who has the postseason home run record now because it's so skewed because they don't,
Manny,
it's not just the World
Bernie,
Series.
Bernie, one of those two guys,
yeah.
I assume.
It should be Mantle, right?
Well, Mantle has the World Series.
Yeah, obviously it's not fair to Mickey. Right. He didn't have those extra rounds. But think about that. Jose Altuve has 23 postseason home runs in 79 games.
He's a tremendous player.
Yeah, I think he's probably in.
He's
You're right.
Lock. He's a lock.
Yeah.
All right, I'm glad. But I'm glad you guys aren't going to, do what you did to Albert Bell to Jose Altuve.
By the way, the all-time record is Manny Ramirez at 29. Altuve is second.
Right. By the way, another guy who should be in the Hall of Fame. I don't know, but you don't like Manny. I understand, whatever he was doing, he did
all
kinds
of different... That's a different issue. That's a different issue.
But he still is one of the, like Albert Bell, one of the great right-hand hitters of his generation. Very likely. Yeah.
What did Albert Bell get? How many votes did he get? Like seven?
Got nothing. Yeah, I can't believe it. Did you ever look at this guy's numbers? Votes. Well, his OPS is like what? What is it? OPS. What is it?
He's like Joe Carter.
He's better than Joe Carter.
He's not Joe Carter. He was better than Joe Carter.
Wait, give me a break.
His OPS was 933. Four seasons over 1,000. He was a beast. He really was.
He was in that era where the offense was way up.
But he wasn't doing steroids. He's never been. And I'll tell you something, too. We were fortunate enough.
He did cheat. Yeah.
How did he cheat? What do you mean cheat?
Corked his bat once? Is that what you're saying?
Once. Yeah, right. He just happened to get caught that one time.
No, caught his bat.
You're not that naive, are you, Evan? I don't believe it.
No,
you're
I'm
from
just,
the five towns.
I'm
you're
just
smarter
saying he
than
corked
that.
His bat. Oh, come on. You think he's the only guy ever only Hall of Famer to cork his bat?
Yeah, you guys had no problem putting in
he's
guys who threw spitballs.
He's not a Hall of Famer.
What about all the spitball guys you put in the Hall of Fame who openly talked about cheating? Like
I can't
Gaylord
believe
Perry.
You see, guys.
No issue with that?
I don't want to continue too long with Albert Bell. By the way, I had Albert Bell on my podcast. This guy, what an interview, this guy. You ever try to interview Albert Bell?
Podcast?
He probably won't talk to you.
No. He doesn't talk to journalists.
Wow. Okay. He only talks to, what?
Well, you're an entertainer.
There is an element of entertainment here. That is true, John.
Yeah.
And we have brought your entertainment value up to a high level.
I know. My wife is telling me my personality has gone south since I've not been on with you guys.
There you go.
Well,
yeah, but you're a big podcast star. You and Joel Sherman have a podcast.
Oh, is that right? You
now?
And Sherman have a podcast now?
Yeah.
We do, yes. The show. And we have guests and we talk baseball. And
nice.
Yeah, we do it every week. Yeah, nice. Thank you. I appreciate that for mentioning.
No
that.
Problem. Were the Angels ever close to trading Shohei Ohtani, or
no,
was that just all BS?
No, the owner said emphatically and profanely, I'd rather trade my GM and my manager than trade him.
So that, they're not going to trade him. He has 1 year left before he gets to free agency.
Yeah, I don't think so.
So he's just going to get to free agency and sign with Steve Cohen. That's where we're headed?
I think he will get to free agency. I'm not going to guarantee which team. There are 29 other teams. I know you guys are focused on the Mets, but there are 29 other teams. It does seem like he probably will go elsewhere because he wants to win. I don't blame him. And this is a guy who's not all about the money. You got to give him credit. He's obviously he's a rich man, but he's making one-tenth of what he should be making. So, and he doesn't complain, at least not that we know about. I give him all the credit in the world, and, yeah, I think that's what's going to happen. I think he'll play one more year with the Angels. They'll lose again next year, and then he'll leave as a free agent, and they'll get a draft choice for him. That's why I think they should have traded him.
Now, is there any chance, and I never thought, if you asked me this question like last year or 2 years, what I'm going to say now, I can't believe I'm actually saying this.
Uh-oh.
Because 2 years ago, or even last year, I would say, this is insanity. Don't you have to start to look at Edwin Diaz for the Cy Young Award?
Yeah, I think you have to consider him for Cy Young and for MVP. You got to put him on the ballot, I would say. I think the Cy Young winner is
Alcantara.
Yeah, I think he's the winner. I mean, he's the only guy who throws eight innings.
Yeah, no, based on that, I have no issue with Alcantara, but I think, Edwin Diaz has to be in the conversation.
Yeah, I mean, there's a ballot that's five now, so I would say he should be on the ballot. He's having an all-time great season for a reliever, so yeah, and I think he should be on the MVP ballot.
Yeah,
I don't know what I have this year. Last year I had the MVP ballot, and I voted a little differently than most, but I had the ballot. Maybe they're taken away from me this year. I haven't heard anything, so I don't know.
Alonso
maybe
should be in the
get rookie.
Alonso,
maybe
too, for MVP. Alonso, too.
He should be in there. What about Lindor? Lindor should be in there.
Yeah, but he's Pete's the lead guy. Lindor's been great, don't get me wrong, but Pete's
the
lead guy.
You know, you gotta look at the war. Man,
stop. Pete Alonso. Pete Alonso's war is the reason why I wipe my ass with war. I'm being dead serious. I find the
why war is bad?
It's bad.
How is it possible?
Bad isn't the right word, but Joe, I'm not even kidding you. They list about 40 guys ahead of Pete Alonso.
How the hell is that possible?
That's my point. That's why, John, I'm all for new age stats. I'm a very open-minded guy.
What?
The disrespect that this made-up stat has for a guy like Alonso.
Come on.
I watch him every day. Joe watches him every day.
Every day.
They act as if he can't make a play at first base, and he runs backwards when he tries to run the bases. Like, it's all BS.
I'm sorry.
It's
completely.
It doesn't back up reality.
Pete Alonso will eventually, and the Mets, they should pay him now. I mean, they should just give him a contract now, like the Braves did with Austin Riley, will eventually be the greatest everyday player in the history of the Mets.
Maybe. Right now, Piazza, I'd say, right?
Well, he's going. Yeah. He's moving pretty quick to go by Piazza, I'll tell you that.
You lock him up long-term and injuries don't derail his career, he'll pass him easily.
Remember, we're talking Piazza as a Met, not Piazza as a Dodger. Let's forget that. We don't care what he did with the Dodgers. Who gives a damn?
I just think it's so valuable. Saying. It's very valuable to have a catcher who's one of the best five hitters in baseball. So I'd still go Piazza at this point, but Alonso's obviously fantastic. Yeah. So I can't really disagree. But yeah, I'm kind of.
Do we agree about anything, John? Has there ever been anything that I agree with John Heyman?
Yeah.
Right? Yes. You even said the Yankees are one of the two best teams in baseball. I disagree with that, too. I think the Mets are better. I think Houston's better. I think the Dodgers are better. And I think the Mets are better.
Yes. When did I say the Yankees are one of the two best
teams? Did he just say the Yankees are one of the two best teams in baseball?
Did he say that?
Of course he did. Why do you think I made it up?
Well, are you concerned about the Yankees? They haven't played good baseball for a while.
Concerned.
But they still have a big lead in the AL East. Where's your concern level?
It's pretty high. I am
concerned
about the Yankees. I agree. Right now, I would say Dodgers the best team. Mets are the second best. Houston's third. Excuse me. Yankees fourth. I think that four teams have kind of separated themselves.
Yes.
Fourth. So I think we agree on that. I agreed on Altuve. You guys convinced me. He's a Hall of Famer.
First ballot lock.
I'm only teasing about war. In fact, my judge column tomorrow, I make fun of war because – excuse me, Judge has a 7.4 war in one of the wars and a 6.9 war in the other.
That's the other problem. You know, it's a stat that differs based on the website
you go to. Who's got the best war right now? Who is that?
Who's the best? Yeah, Judge is the best, and he should be. He is the best player.
Yes, yeah, of
so
course.
That is correct, but it doesn't, to me, with the war that he's 6.9, he's only 0.01 as a defensive player. I mean, the guy's
that's
an
BS.
Outstanding defensive
that's
player.
That's BS.
So I don't know where that comes from.
Yeah, right. He's terrific defensively.
That's the problem.
Yeah, and not only is he great in right field.
He plays center,
he goes
too.
To center, and he's pretty good in center.
Yep.
So I don't get that. I think it's crazy. I mean, Lou Whitaker has a higher lifetime war than Derek Jeter. You know, there are a lot of...
But why are you citing...
That's absurd. Mickey Lolich has a higher lifetime war than Whitey Ford.
John, here's my problem. You brought it up.
I know I'm just teasing.
You're citing it. Like, I'm on ESPN.com, their version of war, okay?
Right.
In the top 50, which includes good players like Alejandro Kirk and Kyle Tucker and Nico Horner and Trey Turner and Logan Webb, guys like that, good players. Pete Alonso's not on that list.
That's
He's not in the top 50.
That's ridiculous.
That's why the stat
is ridiculous.
Is a flawed, stupid stat. It shouldn't be cited.
It's flawed. No, I think we're agreeing on a lot today. I agree it's flawed, and I made fun of it. I don't believe it's... You know, it's not exactly accurate, and then they go back and look at the defensive metrics of guys who retired and give them some kind of point system. For those players,
I have where Pete is ranked. Pete is 57th in WAR.
What?
He is tied with Jurickson Profar, and he's slightly behind Ahmed Rosario and Merrill Kelly and Ke'Bryan Hayes.
Come on.
That's part of why this stat. Is just
I'm gonna go to my next thing now, the next bandwagon that I'm on. All right, John, you ready? But by the way, we're talking to John Heyman, who does a great job. He writes for the New York Post and all of that. You've upgraded dramatically with that as well.
I knew you'd like the Post.
Oh, I'm a Post guy.
That's the only paper I read. I would have gone to the Times, but I knew you liked the Post better.
Well, I'm glad, yes, by far.
I sensed that.
Yeah, by far.
Yeah.
Okay, now, with all this war nonsense, isn't it time we put together, I think these guys have to go in together into the Hall of Fame, Keith Hernandez and Don Mattingly into the Hall of Fame. You agree?
Yep.
Wow.
And I blew it with Hernandez because, you know, I looked at the stats and I didn't vote for him. He is the greatest, arguably the greatest first. I mean, I think there are
greatest defensive first baseman of all time. There's no doubt about it.
I think Mattingly was just right there with him.
Close. Mattingly was a better hitter than Keith. Keith was better defensively. Is that fair to say?
Yes, what everyone says. You know, I covered the Yankees, so I'm having a hard time imagining anyone being better than
Mattingly.
No, Mattingly
was terrific. But you're talking about, you know, Hernandez, you know?
Yeah, I mean, there are metrics that show that he is the greatest defensive first baseman
Who's this,
ever,
Mattingly?
So... No, Keith.
Oh, well,
Keith.
Good. Well, he is. He is.
I don't think metrics can define defense. I think your eyes can define defense.
Here's how I look at Keith Hernandez at first base. He played first base like Ozzie Smith played shortstop. Like Brooks Robinson played third base. He redefined defense at that position.
Right, and his OPS plus is like 122, something like
that. Is that good? I don't know if that's good.
Yeah, 100 is 100 is average.
Okay.
And I don't have it in front of me, but Ozzie Smith is like 80, so he's a below
average
hitter.
Ozzie Smith was
barely over 100.
Look,
Keith is 122. So that is a demonstration of exactly. Now, I do think it's more valuable to have the all time great shortstop than the all time great.
Well, he was a better hitter, Keith, than both of those guys, right? I mean,
but that's the position.
But
John, that position of shortstop is, I think, the one position where you can be a below-average offensive player and get to the Hall of Fame. Because here's what I would respond to, and I totally respect, even though I disagree, hey, it's more important to have a better defensive shortstop than first base. I think having a great first baseman, as Derek Jeter, can help a career of a third baseman and a shortstop. Andrew Jones, for my money, is the greatest defensive center fielder of all time. I can't imagine, and this is not a knock on Willie Mays or anybody like that.
Junior Griffey, too.
Griffey was great, too. But I can't imagine someone being better defensively than Andrew Jones was in center field. And oh, by the way, pretty good offensive player.
Yep.
If that guy didn't get into the Hall of Fame on the first ballot, then clearly there's a bias towards a all-time great defensive player getting in. Because Andrew Jones, for my money, is as good defensively in center field as we've ever seen, and yet he can't get into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I'm with you. I vote for Andrew Jones. I've always voted for him. I value defense. I even went over and voted for Scott Rolen, which I didn't at the beginning. I do think defense is a huge part of the game, particularly at those positions. Now, it's not as important at first base, but I do think being the greatest at something, that's pretty important. And Hernandez also had great on-base percentage. I mean, there are stats out in front of me, like over a seven-year period, had like the highest on-base percentage, something like that, in the league. And he won an MVP, right? Mm-hmm. I mean,
two world championships.
Things. Right, integral part of both of them. So, Keith should be in, and Mattingly. I voted for Mattingly every time, 15 times. He never got, I don't think he ever got 20%.
That's crazy.
That is.
I mean, he was the best player in baseball for about five years, John.
Yeah, I do respect that. I mean, I think that, you know, if you're the best for a period, that's better than just being pretty good for 20 years, you know, and he was the best player, arguably,
for
5 or 6 years.
John, and I think this was your report. If it wasn't, you can give out the credit to whoever had it. The idea that the Yankees were offering Jason Dominguez in a trade for Luis Castillo, which I find stunning because I looked at the Yankees' view of Jason Dominguez as this untouchable guy, and no offense to Luis Castillo, he's pitched really well this year. He's 29 years old. He's never had a great, great season at the major league level. Like, he's a good pitcher. Does he give the Yankees a better chance to win? Of course. But Jason Dominguez, if he was as believed in as I thought the Yankees had in him, I'm kind of stunned they would offer him in a trade for Luis Castillo. Does that show that maybe they don't love him as much as most of us thought they did?
No, I mean, they knew they had to come up with a good package to get a chance at Castillo, who they did like very much. I think the scouts really love Castillo, and you could see that what they were, the Seattle, which has a good system, gave up their first, third, and fifth best prospects. First, third, and fifth, right? So that's pretty good. Castillo had a year to go, which is a big thing. He throws very hard. He obviously, he's looked good. His first couple starts was good against the Yankees, once before the deadline, once after the deadline. The price was high. I mean, it's a matter of supply and demand, right? So the supply was not that great. There was really two above-average starters available, and he was the best one of the group. So that
John Heyman with us of the Post, our old buddy from the old days. Always a pleasure talking to you, John. I have to tell you that.
It is a pleasure. You know? I missed it.
I want to ask you, do you think that Jacob deGrom is leaving the Mets after this year's over?
I do. Well, I believe him that he's opting out. I think there's a good chance he'll leave. That's just my guess.
Why? That's right. Why? Because I get that sense he wants to leave. Why do you say that?
Yeah, though? I don't know if he wants to leave or not. I couldn't. He doesn't confide in me, but
you're not tight.
I think there'll be other interests out there, and you know he's had some. I'd say there's been some tension with the front office, and let's face it, he's not always available to pitch. I mean, that's not his fault.
Do you think the Mets want him back, though? Do you think the Mets are going to be willing to pay him $50 million?
$50 million. The Post estimated. I didn't see that. They didn't consult me on that one.
I agree. Mike Puma wrote a great article today. I'll give him a pop because I thought this was fascinating.
Great article, but I thought a couple of the numbers were a little high.
I agree. But what Mike Puma did, for anyone who missed it, because this has been on my mind, so I'm glad he put it together, was what's the cost of just keeping this team together at the end of the year?
Right.
Edwin Diaz, Brandon Nimmo, Chris Bassett. I would let guys like Bassett, Carlos Carrasco, Taiwan Walker walk. But I would re-sign Nimmo, Edwin Diaz, Jacob deGrom.
You let all those guys walk, all three?
Yes. Because
three fifths of the rotation?
I'll tell you why. Because between Tylor Megill and David Peterson, you have the ability to fill it and not have your payroll be what Mike Puma predicted it as, which is $355 million, which is maybe what it would be if you kept deGrom.
Got to sell those paintings, man. Stevie's got to sell those paintings.
Listen, if he's willing to...
He's not going to have to sell the paintings. He's doing quite well.
I'm just saying. I mean, if he has to sell them, he's got to sell them.
Look, if he's willing to write a check for $350, I got no problem with it.
Right.
I'm just saying, if I had to make a decision between keeping Nimmo, deGrom, and Diaz... I'm good.
Is Diaz a free agent too?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes.
See, I didn't know that.
And he's going to get $100 million.
No, he's going to get a lot of money. Yeah.
So I agree with Puma's estimate.
Unless he chokes in the playoffs.
Then we'll view it differently. I agree with his estimate that DeGrom's going to need $50 million a year. How many teams are going to be willing to give that to him, as good as he is?
Yeah, I don't see him at $50 million. I mean, Scherzer got $43 million, and he's reliable.
But Jake's better.
$50 million?
Jake's better.
Yes. Yeah, he's better, but... Would you give $50 million? If you owned a team, would you give $50 million?
Well, how many years? I mean, I wouldn't give him more than 2 years. I wouldn't give him more than a couple of years, John.
Well, he's going to look for more than a couple
years. I'll tell you exactly what I'd give him. I'll tell you right now.
You'd give him $100 million for 2 years?
I'd give him – no, I was going to actually go further. I'd give him 3 years, $150 with an opt-out after year two. That's what I would offer him.
Jeez, I wish I was a player on your team.
Why? I basically gave that to Scherzer. I gave it to Max Scherzer, who was coming off.
Scherzer.
I got a tired arm in the postseason, who's missed time the last couple of years. I mean, the Mets did that.
Right, you're talking about one game he missed. One game.
No, Max has missed
time.
He missed
6 weeks with the Mets.
A season. No. He was out for 13
no,
months.
No, we know. We know that.
I understand.
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry. I feel bad. I don't feel bad.
No, I know he's missed time, but Max Scherzer had missed not as much time, but a couple of starts in 2019, a couple of starts in 2021. So
that's
he's
different
missed,
than
he missed
making
6 weeks.
A couple starts.
He missed 6 weeks
There's
this year.
The difference between missing a couple and making a couple.
Then, and here's the other difference. Jacob deGrom is better than Max Scherzer. He just is.
He's better.
Okay.
Right.
So I don't think my offer is that crazy.
You and Puma agree. I thought $50 million was high. I also thought the $25 million. Again, Puma, I love the article. I love him. He's a fantastic beat writer. I thought $25 million for Diaz was high, too.
I agree. I think I'm with you
on that. The record is $17.2 million for Chapman, so I think $18 million may get Diaz
done. The one thing I will say about Diaz is that you never know about these relief pitchers. I mean, he could be the greatest pitcher that ever lived for a year as a relief pitcher this year, and then fall off the face of the earth next year. I mean, that is possible.
I agree, but I think there are some risks you just have to take.
Yeah, I guess so.
And
I think
Edwin Diaz and Jacob deGrom, to me, are two guys where I know the contracts could end up being bad.
Right.
I'm doing it.
Okay.
As much as I love Brandon Nimmo, I'd put him third on the list and say, I can replace him. I think he's more easily replaceable than the best pitcher in baseball and the best closer in baseball.
Well, how is deGrom not replaceable? They've just played a half a season without him.
And because
he's second best
because
record in the
when
league.
He pitches, he's the best pitcher in baseball, and it ain't close.
But he didn't pitch. He didn't pitch for the first half.
I understand.
And they were fantastic.
I'm saying that there aren't many guys out there that can do what Jake can do. There are guys out there who can do what Brandon does.
Okay. Yeah, I agree. He's the best.
All right, that's my point.
He's not, for me... I would like more reliability. If I'm going to pay $50 million, I mean, you're talking about Scherzer missed the last start of the season, right? Or basically, I mean, Scherzer is already, you know, clearly a Hall of Famer, you know?
Clearly.
Right. And DeGrom, I don't know, you know? So, I mean, reliability is big. I would say I would go with Nimmo, and I would go with Diaz as my top two guys that I'd want to bring back. I mean, certainly I'd want to bring DeGrom back if you can get him at a reasonable rate, but not $50
million. I also don't think, and I don't expect you to understand this, and even Joe doesn't agree with me on this.
Well, it's not that I don't understand it, though.
No, but you do understand it. Yes,
no,
you just disagree
with me.
I think that having a guy who has a chance to go to the Hall of Fame, who you developed, who's been on your team for the last 8 years, that's a guy I can't have pitch anywhere else. And I put a major, major premium on that.
I got to ask Mike, John, I'm going to just take a seat for a second, John. I got to ask my partner this. If he left,
yeah,
and he left and did not re-sign with the Mets, would you be ticked off with this guy?
I'd be very pissed, yes.
Yeah.
I'd be very,
but you
upset.
Would feel okay, but you wouldn't be as ticked off if we helped us win the World Series first.
Well, I don't know what that feels like, so I can't answer that. Win a World Series?
Well,
what the hell does
saying,
that mean?
No, because that would kind of change the dynamic a little bit.
Were you pissed off when Frank Cashin very quickly tried to take apart the 86
oh,
Mets?
Oh, God, I was beyond.
You are.
Okay,
so then
you know that.
Then I'll answer your question. I'd be beyond pissed off.
Yeah. Oh, you
if
know
the
you
Mets
know,
win the
you
World
know
Series.
How I feel about Frank Cashin.
Okay, so then isn't that the same answer?
No, yeah, no, it is. But I just wanted to know. I just wanted to know.
Yeah, I think I'd be pissed then.
You know how I felt when he let Darryl walk? I was like delirious when he let Darryl walk.
I get all the concerns about Jake's health.
Oh, like, you have no idea, Jim.
I'm not disputing the concerns about his health. I can't have him pitch for another freaking team. That can't happen. And Steve Cohen should understand that as a lifelong Met fan. How many forever guys
the only,
have they had?
The only caveat to that is if he didn't want to come back. And some team does offer him some dumb money. Right? I mean, that's the only thing.
If he doesn't want to come back and he takes less money to leave, then obviously he don't want to be here.
Right.
But
I don't think he's...
What was that, John?
Go ahead.
John, you still
there? Yeah, well, you'd cut out a little bit. Yeah, I don't think he's going to take less money to leave. I don't think he's that upset.
Then pay him.
I just think there's some tension. There has been some tension. He's missed a lot of time. Obviously,
Tension that you're talking, because I sense it as well, is the tension you're talking about just the fact that he was hurt for over a year? Is that why the team looks at has tension with him? Where is the tension coming from?
He's not my employee. I would guess that, you know, he really only made news twice over a 13-month period. Both times it was to say he was definitely opting out. You're paying him $30 million during this period. Certainly we asked him the question in spring training. He answered it. Great, good for him, and I think I appreciate that. And then when he got hurt, he was asked again, are you going to definitely opt out whether you're hurt or not? He said yes. Now, if I'm the employer at that point, I may not love that so much.
John,
I don't blame
John,
him.
John, I apologize. The man was asked a question. He answered it. Jacob DeGrom did not hold a press conference to announce he's opting out.
So the Mets are not happy with that, is what you're saying.
You know, he doesn't, I mean, he doesn't seem as, you know, I think... Yeah, I think there's tension. I don't know if that's
the tension could be the fact. Here's where the tension would come from. That Sandy Alderson claimed there was a tear of the UCL.
Okay.
And Jacob DeGrom came out a few days later and said that's not true. So I can see him being annoyed about Alderson.
But Sandy's not here anymore.
Well, he is. He's the team president.
Oh, that's
He's
true
just
too.
Not as
He's
involved,
not making
maybe.
The decisions.
But so I could definitely see Jake being pissed about that, rightfully so, if what Sandy said wasn't true. And it turned out not to be true. But the opt-out thing is ridiculous to me. The man's asked a question, and he's given an honest answer. Are you going to opt out? You want him to lie to you? What do you want Jacob DeGrom to say to you?
I don't want to come on here and kill the guy, but he hasn't seemed like, you know, we love the Mets, everything's great. You know, he is being paid a good salary. He seemed a little more pissed off than he should be, considering he's making $30 million, and he's pitching some of the time. You know, to me... He should seem a little happier than that, but, you know, maybe he's not that kind of person. I don't know. Huh. I sense there's some tension. You know, maybe I'm wrong. You know, he doesn't give off the scent that I love it here. I want to be here. Everything's great with my teammates. I love this game. You know, it doesn't give off that sense like Scherzer does or like Alonso or like, excuse me, like Lindor. Doesn't give off that sense, you know, but I find that a lot of these incredible pitchers are kind of on their own I mean, he's not the only one. You know, Pedro's on his own program, right? Kershaw, they're you know, a little different. These you know, all-time great pitchers. And he is that. He's an all-time great talent. But I could see if you're the employer, you know, he doesn't strike you as, you know, gung-ho for the team, let's do it for the team kind of thing. He seems annoyed about
He's got the same stoic personality he's always had.
In the upper 0.00001% of the population.
So you want him every day to come out and say, thank you for paying me this money. Thank you, Mets management.
No,
thank you.
He doesn't have to do that.
It's ridiculous.
No.
Jacob DeGrom's personality, and I think this is why he was never as loved as Harvey and Syndergaard from the get-go, is that he doesn't have an overwhelmingly bubbly personality. He's not that guy. He didn't. I always thought he cut his hair because he didn't want the attention.
You think
That here's Noah Syndergaard with it, and he's like, you know what? I'm cutting my freaking hair. I always view Jacob DeGrom as
I never thought of that, but that maybe.
As the opposite of Noah and Matt
you
in that he didn't want the attention. That's the way I always viewed it. But here's the truth. Pay him, okay? I understand why someone says, I'm worth more money than that person. Jacob DeGrom looks around baseball, and I get it. He hasn't been healthy. Totally agree. But he says, I'm the best pitcher in baseball. I shouldn't be the second highest paid pitcher on my staff. I should make the most money. And guess what? If he can go out and make every single start the rest of the year and help the Mets win, then he does deserve $50 million a year. That's the market now in baseball.
Yeah, I think it's about production. Has he produced more than Scherzer over the last 4 or 5 years? I don't. My opinion is no.
The answer was yes. Here's the answer to that. The answer was yes until July 7th of last year. That's when it changed. Because I can't argue that he missed the second half of the year and the first half of this year. But up until that point, Jacob DeGrom had surpassed Max Scherzer as the best pitcher in baseball. And he's 4 years younger, which...
Right.
Where do you put Verlander in that deal? Best pitcher in baseball. By the way, he's winning the Cy Young Award. You're not hosing him, right?
No, we don't hose anybody.
You don't want to. You don't want to
Verlander.
You don't want to penalize Verlander because he's got a lot of wins and they don't count, right?
Sorry, you're cutting out sometimes. Judge, the race is over. Verlander is definitely in front. You know, Cease is pretty darn good in second, but yeah, Verlander's definitely in front.
And he has the ability to opt out too. So he could be a free agent and get $50 million a year well while he's out there.
He is 39.
Right, he will decline that. Yeah, he will decline that $25 million player option.
Mm-hmm. All right, real quick, who's going to be in the World Series?
Yeah, I was just going to ask you that. Go ahead.
You know, I picked at the beginning. I'm sorry
you
to tell
you. You picked the Dodgers and the Yankees, right?
I picked the Dodgers and the Astros at the beginning of the year. Okay. So, I mean, you know, if I picked the White Sox and the whatever, I might change that prediction now. But I don't like to change. You know, I don't like to change my predictions. I picked the Astros and the Dodgers.
All right.
So
it's not really a stretch.
I got to stick with
You're
that.
Not really stretching
no,
with that.
Not really.
No. Well, I mean, I like to be right. You know, I mean, I'd rather not be wrong.
All right,
Those
John.
Are good predictions. You know, if I picked the White Sox, you'd come out here and kill me, right?
No, we're not going to kill you.
That's true.
You probably a little bit.
There's still somewhat in the race.
Somewhat. John, good talking to you. Congrats on the podcast. We miss you as well.
We miss you too, John.
All the love,
John.
Same here, guys.
The great John Heyman.
Yes. It's Carton and Roberts on The Fan. WFAN, WFAN-FM, and WFAN.com.
I think you're going to find this interesting. So tonight, the New York Mets play the Philadelphia Phillies at Citi Field.
By the way, we're on TV now on SNY.
Yes. Hello, SNY.
There you go.
Noah Syndergaard will be at Citi Field tonight. He is not pitching this weekend, but he will be in the building.
Right.
The New York Mets, according to Tim Healy, who covers the Mets for Newsday.
No, they're not.
Will be playing a tribute video for Noah Syndergaard.
No. You can't give a tribute video to Noah Syndergaard. The guy couldn't wait. First of all, was he really that good? Okay, let's start with that. Number two, he couldn't wait to leave. He gave this nonsense, okay? And I used to like Syndergaard.
I know.
But he gave you this garbage, okay? Oh, I want to be a Met forever. And it couldn't wait to go. Who was he kidding? How can you possibly... Steve Cohen, intervene.
Intervene.
You can't give a video tribute to Noah Syndergaard. You can't do that.
The only thing.
Can't do that.
Just
hear
me.
That's a bad job.
Hear me out on
this. Do you agree with you? Do you think you should?
I'm not saying I agree. I'm very mixed about it. I'm not mixed. I know you're
not
mixed.
And I used to like Syndergaard, but I'm not mixed.
So I agree with everything you said about the way it ended here. You're 100%
terrible.
Right, and it pissed me off. Totally agree with you, okay? So the ending was a little bitter, and I think overall his tenure here was a disappointment.
Of course.
I agree with all of that.
Absolutely.
Here's the part where I hesitate. They don't get to the World Series without him.
I get it.
Like, he was such a big part.
And he pitched that great game against Bumgarner in the playoff game against the Giants.
Yeah, the 2016 game. But forget even 2016.
That.
Like, in the World Series, the one game they won.
Right, Syndergaard.
Was started and won by Noah
and
Syndergaard.
And he dusted the leadoff hitter right
away. Yes, and he dusted Cedis Escobar.
That's the guy,
Escobar. And we all love it. We all thought it was great.
I can't give him a video tribute.
Well, that's the part I'm mixed about, because I don't know what. What makes you deserve a video tribute? Like, what's the line? Like, David Lee of the New York Knicks got a video tribute. What does that mean?
Let me ask you this question.
Yes.
David Lee got a video.
He did.
Did he really?
Yes. Oh, come on. He did.
That's unbelievable. But that's ridiculous.
Once a Knick, always a Knick.
Yeah, right. David Lee, give me a break.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. A video. This. You got to be around. Like... All right, let me ask you this. That's what I was thinking. I was losing my train of thought. All right. So let's say that Cespedes was still playing.
Mm-hmm.
All right? And on another team.
Yeah.
Does he get a video tribute?
I think he has to.
No, I agree with that.
You agree with me.
Yes.
Okay.
But not Syndergaard.
All right. I got a good one. And I don't remember what they did, because this guy did come back.
Okay.
Matt Harvey.
You know, I got a warmer feeling in my heart for Matt Harvey than I do for Noah Syndergaard.
Because of the success overall on the field,
he was the first of that group.
Okay, fair enough. He was.
And he took the world by storm.
Yep.
And I just, he's become to me kind of almost a sympathetic figure. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah.
Now he's become,
I agree.
He's become, and I just, like, what he did in game five and demanding the baseball. And I know he didn't win, but demanding the baseball, I want this game to go out there and do it. That meant something. That means a lot to me as a Met fan.
I totally get that, and I agree with you. Noah Syndergaard made more starts than Matt Harvey.
Did he?
He did.
That's surprising.
His overall numbers are clearly better than Matt Harvey.
Yeah, right.
And
right.
A lot of that is that Harvey fell way off at the end.
He
and
did.
I acknowledge
way
that.
Way off at the end.
Obviously, the best of Harvey was better than the best of Syndergaard.
Yes.
But
no
Harvey
doubt.
Made fewer starts. He wasn't as successful. And as much as you talk about game five, where I agree, Noah won his game.
He did win.
Like, he didn't need anything. They won
that
game.
They did win.
So based on the standard you lay out for Matt Harvey, why not Syndergaard?
Yeah. I guess it's just because, like, I guess the big reason is the way he left.
Yeah. I get that.
When you give me the nonsense that you love it here, I want to be here forever, and then 10 minutes later, he signed with the Angels? What?
I think
I mean, didn't that make you delirious?
Yeah, I was annoyed.
Of course.
But I think sometimes these things happen and you realize a few months later or a few years later, that's the best thing that ever happened to me. You know what I mean?
Well.
And sometimes it's happened with women where you're like, thank God that didn't work out. It's the best thing that ever happened to me.
Right.
If the New York Mets had re-signed Noah Syndergaard, is Max Scherzer here? Chris Bassett here?
Yeah.
The answer
I wish Zach Wheeler was still here.
Well, that's a different story.
You know how I feel
now,
about
did
that.
They, and I'm trying to remember, did they do a tribute for Zach Wheeler?
I don't know.
I think they did.
Did they?
But I also think the way Wheeler left, our bitterness was at the Mets and not Zach.
Yeah, no. It was on the Mets, yeah.
But in terms of postseason accomplishments, obviously Zach Wheeler didn't do anything here.
No.
He wasn't pitching that year.
No,
he
was
hurt.
Right, right.
So I understand your reaction to it. And by the way, looking at Twitter's reaction, most people are very much anti-video for Noah Syndergaard. I'm just telling you, I'm mixed because I do think he had some pretty damn good moments here with the Mets.
No, I'm not saying he didn't. And there was a time where I thought he was going to be the best of all of them. There was a time.
No, I know.
When he signed with the Angels, I was so ticked off at this guy.
Yeah.
You know?
No,
Give me a break. You know?
But looking at what he did with Anaheim and what he's done with Philadelphia.
He did nothing.
He is never even matching what he did in that
2016. No, he's never going to be that guy again.
And that's incredible to me. Because in 2016, when he's 23 years old and he's going to the All-Star game and he's going toe-to-toe with Madison Bumgarner, we looked at him and said, we got a guy.
Yeah.
We got a guy.
I did.
And look what happened after that. He got hurt very quickly in 2017, the whole I'm not going for the MRI thing. He missed a lot of time in 2018. And then in 2019, he wasn't any good.
Like, all of a sudden,
no, he wasn't.
He's not that good. Right. Then he misses all of 2020 and 2021.
Right.
And then 2022, the year where, yes, I wanted him back, you wanted him back. What would he have been? He'd be what the guy he is, which is a mediocre guy. Yeah. He never turned out. And he's about to turn 30, by the way. In 2 weeks, he's going to be 30 years
really
old.
It's really amazing. I mean, you look at those five pitchers, and I include, obviously, Matt's in this, right? And, you know, the guys that they had, Wheeler, the other, is a... The fact that, you know, the only guy left is DeGrom.
He is the only guy left.
And while Wheeler is still a very good pitcher.
Yes.
But all these other guys have really flamed out.
Yeah. Well, Matz is a serviceable back of the rotation guy.
He's okay.
No, but that's all he is, back of the rotation.
Okay. That's what I'm saying. I mean, I shouldn't say flamed out.
Harvey's essentially flamed out of baseball.
Right.
And Syndergaard looks like a middle to back of the rotation guy. So with it all said and done, the one guy the Mets kept was the guy who turned out to be the best.
The best of all.
But Zach Wheeler continues to go out there and make 30 starts every year.
I told you, it's one of the three worst non-free agent signings in the history of the Mets that they didn't keep those guys.
It was a bad one.
Yep.
No, I agree. Yep. It was bad because you finally saw Zach Wheeler breaking through. You finally saw him becoming that guy.
And now he's like a workhorse now.
I know.
It's unbelievable.
And it does make it worse that he's in the division.
Of course.
If he had signed with the Detroit Tigers and was doing this.
I'd still be mad.
We'd be mad.
But it's not as bad.
Exactly.
Right.
But the Mets are going to see him. He's actually going to pitch on Sunday.
Yeah.
And if the Mets
beat him. Didn't they beat him last time? They beat him last time.
Oh,
let's go beat him again.
They didn't have success against him, I think, last year or the year before. But now they've started to have a little bit more success against him.
Yeah.
But they may see him in the playoffs, man. I mean, the Phillies are very much a possibility.
Phillies are definitely potentially in the playoffs. I would agree.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.